What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher, and today we're going to kind of be looking at what the Vols are doing basketball-wise. Not a whole lot going on football right now. Still just kind of in a time where we're just waiting on news to pop up about, you know, offensive tackle Hurd that they're going after. You know, George McIntyre that we're waiting on, the 2025 quarterback that the Vols are pursuing. So really not a whole lot to discuss there, just kind of waiting on news to erupt. You know, obviously a lot of stuff's going on, you know, players leaving other places, like a lot of Alabama players leaving. You know, there's going to be some more opportunities for Tennessee to get some people. But, you know, time is dwindling down, and I'd say that most of the big moves, I should say, that, you know, is going to be made within the roster, I would say, has been done already. I did see that some of the players that have transferred out of Tennessee going to Ole Miss have all but flipped to Louisville. So that's kind of funny. And just really sweet revenge on a coach that was just trying so hard to troll our fan base. So that was a nice middle finger to Lane Kiffin. But yeah, we got a couple games to kind of recap. I didn't get to do an episode before the Florida game, so we'll recap the Georgia and the Florida game. Kind of detail what happened there, and, you know, obviously two big wins for the Vols after the disappointing loss at Mississippi State, and then we'll also touch on the Alabama game coming up a little bit too, kind of what to expect. But yeah, starting with Georgia, that was the game that, if you listened, you know, that was the game that I traveled to Athens, my first time being in Athens. You know, I didn't really go around the city a whole lot. My buddy and I just drove down to Athens. We went to the game. It was a noon game, so, you know, we were back around 6 to 7 o'clock. So, really, you know, wasn't that nothing crazy. We didn't, not like we went, you know, all over Athens or anything like that. We certainly didn't stay there. I would have wanted no part of that. But, you know, got to go to the game. It was kind of an underwhelming environment, to be honest with you. I mean, look, it gets loud in there. It's going to get loud at any home game when you're playing somebody that's a top five team in the country. It's going to get loud because people get up for those types of games. And so, you know, Georgia had taken the lead there in the second half. That place was super loud in the second half. But it's, you know, it's very small. It's just not Thompson Bowling Arena. So it was cool. It was cute and everything. But it's nothing close to what else is out there. It's, you know, a glorified high school arena is what it felt like, to be honest with you. But enough trashing their arena. How about we trash their team? Dalton Kincaid just bullied Georgia, especially in that second half. Kind of had a slowish first half, but really turned it on in the second half. Ended up finishing the game with 36 points. And, I mean, we could cut it right there because, you know, if you hear somebody has over 30 points, you think surely that team did not lose. So, you know, some good minutes from everybody else too. Jonas Adu remains to, you know, be given really good minutes. Had 15 rebounds, 10 points. Ziegler had 18 points. A lot of carelessness in that game. Got to get that stuff cleaned up with him, and, you know, and other people as well too. Gainey's just still not really contributing much. Mayshak hit a three in there. That was cool to see. DeLeon got some more minutes. Tobey Awaka got a couple minutes. But overall, you know, didn't have to go to the bench a ton. They brought Gainey in a relief a little bit and Mayshak some. But, you know, outside of that, the bulk of your minutes played was your typical starting lineup in Adu, Kincaid, Ziegler, Vescovi, and James. And, you know, it was a struggle, and it was a really talented team they were playing too, not to undermine that. As bad as their arena is, they do have a pretty talented team this year. So you got to kind of give credit where credit is due. But Tennessee, you know, they more or less they handled business. If not for Dalton Kincaid, they very easily could have lost that game. Somebody else would have had to step up, and somebody else probably could have. But I think this offense has just realized that they kind of revolve around Dalton Kincaid. So guys are going to try to get Dalton Kincaid the ball a little bit more. You know, that's going to mean you're going to see a little bit less selfishness playing. You're probably going to see guys trying to pass, get him good looks. You're going to see Kincaid, you know, being more aggressive to get in the paint. And that's what they need. They need more guys to be aggressive, go in the paint, make plays. And that, as a team effort, that could have been better. But Kincaid, you know, he did what he needed to do and got the Vols a win on the road. And it was a huge win, I think, especially just for confidence for the team. as they continue. It's good to get those road wins early. I will say, if you're going to take a loss, you'd rather it be early, which they kind of had that with Mississippi State. So my hope is that that kind of lit a fire under them and showed them that they don't like that feeling, and they just kind of realize that they're more than capable of doing what they need to do. It's just a matter of doing it. But Dalton Connect sure helped out, and you know, they got it done in Athens. So that was a great game. Like I said, credit to Georgia. They've got a really solid team. Blue Kane, you know, he's one that he came out of nowhere in the second half and just started hitting threes. And it's like, whoa, who is this dude? So Georgia's one of those teams, they'll sneak up on you if you're not careful. And certainly nobody should take them lightly when they go to play them, especially at home, because although it's small, it can get loud in there at times. So, and I'm sure that they probably don't bring that type of energy to every game, but, you know, it, when you're playing a top five team, that's what's going to happen. But, you know, super, super cool to get a win like that on the road. And then tonight, Tennessee just finished up with a win over Florida. This one went quite a bit differently. Tennessee won 85-79 against Georgia. And then they won today 85-66. So quite a different ball game. Back in Knoxville, again, Connect just kind of stole the show. He had 39 points, which is a career high for him at Tennessee. Jonas Adu had 19 points. Ziegler had 7 points. Vescovy and James with a couple points. Toby Awaka, 2. J.P. Estrella had 7, which was really, really cool to see. And you go down the list of Mayshak, and Mayshak had 6. So, although, you know, maybe number-wise, not everybody is, you know, stat-popping. But, you know, everybody is kind of getting involved in different ways, whether their role is big or small. Everyone has kind of got their role. And you got guys like Ziegler that can score points. You know, if you need a spark plug, he can be your guy. But his role is kind of, you know, getting the ball to people and good looks underneath. You know, Jonas Adu, Dalton Connect. Ziegler's that guy, and he had 4 assists. Probably could have had more, but, you know, he's super, super talented. Took away a little bit of his minutes more than normal with putting De Leon in there and just kind of a couple different looks, but still played 34 minutes. He's probably going to be the guy that's going to get the most minutes out of anybody outside of Connect, which he did have more minutes than Connect tonight. But, yeah. Jonas Adu, 21 minutes, and the 19 points in that is super, super good. Dalton Connect, just can't say enough about him. He puts the game on his shoulders, and he just takes it and runs with it. Obviously contributed to a ton of their points, nearly half, and the rest of the team just kind of doing what they need to do. The only concern with that is I don't even know if it's necessarily a concern as much as it is. You just want to be careful because you don't want to get too reliant upon that, because there's going to be days where Dalton Connect's maybe not going to shoot his best. Maybe he's not feeling great. Maybe he's, you know, kind of battling through something. And Connect's just not going to be on every single game. He'll be on most games, and certainly that needs to be the approach, is to get him the ball and, you know, get your playmaker the ball. Let him make plays. That's what he does. But, you know, you don't want them to become complacent is the only thing. And not to say that I think that's what's happening, but you just don't want the team to kind of fall into that a little bit and get too reliant upon that. But the good thing is, even with, you know, Connect was having a little bit of a slow streak there, Tennessee was, you know, prior to the year change, Tennessee was still winning ball games. You know, and they beat some good teams. But they can manufacture points in a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, this was about as good of a game, if not the best game that they played this year. And, you know, there's still some sloppiness, some turnovers, some stuff that's just going to make Barnes just upset and kind of, you know, get onto him at practice a little bit harder. But, you know, whatever he's doing right, because the team is just kind of rallying, and they realize what they got to do, and it's, you know, get Connect to the ball, get him good looks. And, I mean, that's just flat out what they did. And Connect really carried this team tonight, and as well as it in Athens. So I expect, you know, Connect's probably going to be looked at a little bit differently now. But the good thing is, you know, he can adapt his game to change too, because people have seen him. You know, they saw him all leading up to this year, and, you know, in 2023, those couple months where they played November and December, people saw Dalton Connect, and they saw some of the things he was able to do. And, you know, people already knew coming in kind of what he was going to be. So, you know, in conference, people are going to be – the tape is out on Dalton Connect, more or less. So people kind of know what they're getting into. So you definitely got to have other ways to manufacture points. So that's why it's really good to see guys like Jonas Adu getting involved. You know, the only bad thing outside of the sloppiness is just Vescovy, man. He still looks like he just lacks confidence. His minutes are slowly dwindling down, which is probably a good thing the way that he's been playing. But, man, he's just not been great. And, you know, Gainey behind him has not been super great either. Again, goose egg for Gainey. So he's not contributing a lot. Vescovy's not contributing a lot. I don't know what you got to do. Vescovy certainly can help on the defensive end, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of times where he's just slow to react. Times where he's very hesitant. He doesn't want to take a shot. Like, there was a play, he got a ball in transition, and it was one-on-one. And you always go up right there because you're either going to get fouled. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get fouled right there. You get a three-point chance opportunity if you make the bucket count. And even if you don't get fouled, I mean, you take a shot because you got a layup opportunity with one guy to beat. And he gets it, and he spins around, and he passes out to the perimeter. They shoot the three in the, you know, middle of the transition. And so as Florida's running back, they rebound the three that was missed, and they get the ball back, and it's a waste of possession. Those types of opportunities do not always come. And in a really tight ball game, those types of opportunities can be the things that can swing momentum the way that you need it to be to, you know, come out on top of a game. So that's the type of stuff that needs to be cleaned up, that type of sloppiness, which is just weird for Vescovy because it's been uncharacteristic what we've seen so far this year. And again, I don't know that you can really go to the bench a whole lot to replace him because Gainey is not really contributing a whole lot. So I really don't know what the answer is right now. Just kind of cross my fingers that Vescovy gets through it. I was talking to my dad about this, and, you know, part of it is probably because my dad said this, and I agree with him. Part of it is because Vescovy just kind of knows his role is a little bit different this year with Dalton Connect coming in. You know, your point scores is going to be a little bit different. But, I mean, we're talking about, the preseason all-SEC guy that, you know, one of Tennessee's most leading scorers in, basketball history. It's a guy that needs to get more involved in the game. No matter how, any way you look at it, he's got to get more involved. He's got to get that confidence back because if he's playing this way come March, that could be something that could be detrimental to the team because you got to have everybody giving 100% effort and, you know, be ready to go. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it's just something to keep an eye on. Not bad. Not a bad game. Tennessee was 6 of 18 from 3. Not great, not horrible. Just kind of okay, but, you know, that was a game that Tennessee didn't really have to be just phenomenal from 3 because they were driving so hard in the paint and getting stuff done. And I think that's how Tennessee wants to play. You know, they want to play that inside-out game where you get underneath. You know, you set up good opportunities to shoot threes from drawing people inside, and you drive to the basket a lot. And so you're either drawing defenders up, and when they don't bite, you got a clear run to the basket. So you can make them respect that game, and, you know, that makes them bite up a little bit when you drive to the basket a lot too. And so for a team that sometimes struggles from the perimeter, it gives you a lot more open looks as well. And so I think that's the type of game that Tennessee wants to play, and I think that was about as picture-perfect as you can get. The defense was, you know, pretty good too, and credit Florida. You know, they're a talented team, and they're going to go win some more games. They're going to, you know, potentially make some noise in the SEC, but man, they just got out physical. Tennessee just bullied them tonight. So big win for the Vols. Next up on the radar, they've got Alabama coming to town. So you got another home game before going on the road to Vanderbilt, which, if we're being honest, is pretty much another home game. If we're being completely honest here. First things first, got to take care of Bama. And so what do you got in this Alabama team? Alabama is, you know, a really solid team. Obviously, the philosophy is about the same as what it has been with Nate Oates. It's shoot a lot of threes. You know, they're going to play tough. They're going to be physical. But, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, that's not necessarily their game. You know, they shoot a lot of threes, try to get as many offensive rebounds as possible and put it back up quickly. score a lot in transition. It's a lot of fast pace, shoot a lot of threes. It's almost like the no huddle offense, you know, in college football. But, you know, Alabama executes it at a good rate, and they do well. I will say, though, when they get cold and they start missing a lot, especially from the perimeter, it can get rough for them because you can find yourself up easily as Alabama. You can find yourself up 10 points on the road, no problem. And you can maintain that if you're shooting the ball well. But you can also find yourself down 20 in a hurry if you start missing a lot. So it's a tough style of basketball, but they do it just about as good as anybody. They were searching in the early part of the season for a lot of good quad one wins. Just didn't really get a lot. You know, they lost to Ohio State, lost to Clemson. Then they lose to Purdue, lose to Creighton, lose to Arizona, all back-to-back. But, you know, then they come back and they score 111 on a nobody team and 101. So, you know, it's a team that clearly does not have a deficiency in point scoring, and it's going to be a fun one to watch. I'm excited. I'll actually be at that game as well this weekend, so hopefully the snow is done so we don't have any trouble driving, but it'll be a good opportunity to watch a good game in person. Always love going to see Tennessee beat Alabama, so I really hope that happens, but it's going to be exciting nonetheless. You know, Alabama, right now they're playing Missouri, and Missouri's not been what maybe some people thought, but Alabama has maintained a lead over them most of this game, and they're a talented bunch. They really are. You got to watch, you know, obviously Mark Sears, you got to watch him. He's their biggest threat. Estrada's super, super talented. And then you got some other guys too in there that you just can't let anybody get hot at any given moment, because if they strike the iron, they can really get on you in a hurry. ESPN has this game. Tennessee has a 62.9% advantage on the matchup predictor. If you're looking at the stats, obviously Alabama's got more points per game. A little bit of a drop-off competition-wise for Alabama, but Alabama does play a lot different style of offense. Keep that in mind. But then you got, as well, the points scored against. Alabama's given up 74 points on average to Tennessee 66. So, again, that just plays into what I was saying. That Alabama's a point-scoring team, and, you know, we're gonna three you to death, and we're going to outscore you. We don't have to play perfect defense. We want to play our fundamentals right, but we're going to, you know, outscore you no matter what you do. Field goal percentage is about the same between the two teams. Alabama's got a slight edge. Rebounds per game, about the same. Assists per game, Tennessee's got a slight edge there. Blocks per game, Tennessee's got a slight edge. And steals per game is about the same, but Tennessee's got a slight edge. So pretty evenly matched in, you know, the physicality front. It's just two different approaches to the game. So it's going to be a tough one for them. But, you know, like I said, it's going to be a great contest, a great competition. And it's a good opportunity for them to get another win at home in a place that they haven't lost in quite a while. So keep the streak going. Beat a rival. Bolster yourself up a little bit in the SEC. And, you know, hopefully get back into the top five and, you know, kind of solidify your spot there. You want to get back in the top five. You beat Florida and Alabama the same week, and that's a really good way to do that. But, yeah, it's going to be a good one. Super excited. I'm almost scared to put a prediction out. It seems like they may do better when I don't put a prediction out. I will say this. I do think it's going to be a really, really tight ball game. I would say Tennessee needs to score at least – man, that's tough because it is at home, and typically Tennessee doesn't have to score as much at home to win. I'm going to say, you know, the way Tennessee plays defense is going to hurt Alabama a little bit in the game that they play. I'm going to say if Tennessee can get to at least 76 points, I think that they've got enough to win the game, 76 points, because I think the defense will play good enough to keep them below that number. So I'll take Tennessee winning by a really close game, winning by somewhere between 3 to 5 points. As long as they get to 76 points first, I think they got that game in the bag. But, you know, it's going to be an exciting one. Can't wait to be up there for that. It's going to be one to watch, and hopefully another rendition of Tennessee playing Dixieland Delight. So that'll be cool to see. Baseball right around the corner coming up in February. you know, Tennessee's going to be playing at the Rangers ballpark. So, cool opportunity for those guys. You know, if you travel out to Texas or if you live in Texas, there's your chance. You know, go watch a really talented Tennessee team. They're coming. So, a lot of good things on the horizon, but we're going to take it 1 week at a time and one game at a time right now, especially for the basketball team. So, appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to, you can find me on social media at Big Orange Buzz on Instagram, at Big Orange Buzz _ on Twitter. Shoot me a message. You can talk to me about the, you know, the team, whatever sports you want, events, games, whatever, opinions. You know, if you think I'm stupid and what you don't agree with something I say, you know, let me know. But, you know, shout out to me on there and we'll talk about it. So appreciate you guys tuning into this episode. We'll catch you back probably wrapping up and detailing what went on this weekend against Alabama, and probably a look ahead to Vanderbilt before that game. So we'll see you guys on the next one. Y'all have a great weekend and go Vols.